Welcome everyone to this interview where I'm super excited to be talking with Tamara Andreas. Firstly, Tamara, welcome and thank you for joining me.
Well, thank you so much, Alex, and I'm so honored to be invited.
I have a confession to make that this is one of my most loved therapeutic tools that we're going to be talking about. So I'm really excited to be having this conversation. We're going to be talking about core transformation, which is, we'll talk, I'm sure, a bit about some of the history behind this, but a tool that has developed from the world of NLP, but really crosses into many other territories in terms of ways of working and really getting to the core of who we are and often what's at the heart of the issues and the struggles that we can have. Just to give people Tamara's background, Tamara Andreas is co-author of the book, Core Transformation, Reaching the Wellspring Within. As an international trainer, she's helped thousands of seminar participants in more than 12 countries benefit from life-changing methods, including the wholeness work and core transformation. She's also developed advanced core transformation formats to meet the needs of a wider range of clients. Her own client work includes deep levels of transformation, making change easier and more complete. Her latest project is producing an intensive training for coach certification together with Mark Andreas. So, Tamara, I think just as a beginning point to give people a bit of context and frame, what is the core transformation process?
Okay, so yes, it's a gentle step-by-step process that transforms feelings, behaviors, and patterns of thinking that we don't like, and including, of course, issues that can result from having had a traumatic experience. And what's unique, one thing that's unique about core transformation is that in addition to changing these things that we don't like, we get to experience a greater and greater ongoing sense of well-being, sense of inner peace, sense of being in touch with our true essence, we could say. And the process was developed by Connie Ray Andreas.
And we should say Connie Ray is also your sister.
That's right. Yes.
So should we say, well, let's say a little bit about some of the results people can experience from the process, and then we'll come into some of the key steps and concepts within the process.
Okay. Yeah. So here are a couple of examples of people who've gotten really great results using core transformation with a background of trauma. So when I was training in Asia, a man came up to me and with tears streaming down his face, and he said, "Thank you for giving me my life back." And his background is that he had been diagnosed with PTSD, and for him, it was so debilitating that he was hospitalized and he was not expected to ever be able to go back to his profession and live a normal life. And however, fortunately, one of his doctors knew something about core transformation, and he referred this man to somebody who could do it, you know, who was a skilled guide with core transformation. And through using core transformation, this man healed his experience, and he's living a regular normal life. He's, you know, doing his profession again. And I have to say, though, it wasn't me. It wasn't really me that gave him his life back. It was core transformation, and the resource for this came from inside of himself. It's not from any other person, not from the outside. Okay, so then another example that I have. So when I was first beginning to teach and use core transformation, I was doing transformational seminars. We still do them today, but this was one of the first ones. And a woman came to this, and she told me later that she had a background of severe childhood abuse. And in fact, her parents actually broke her fingers as punishment, I think on more than one occasion even. And yeah, so it was just really awful. And as an adult, she had this ongoing experience of feeling empty inside. And she had, of course, many issues, many challenges in life. So she told me later that through the seminar, that was a 3-day seminar, and at the end, she felt that she was beginning to be filled up. Of course, with something like this, it's not like you're going to just snap your fingers and really quick, it's all totally better. However, she continued then working after the seminar with a skilled guide with the process for, I think, about a month and a half or so. And then she continued after that also working on her own, guiding herself through the process. And after about 3 months, she felt fully filled up on the inside, and everything about her life had transformed. So she was eating healthier food. She was beginning to be in a healthy relationship. She just felt basically happy going through life. And so it's really a profound and very complete transformation that, although it wasn't super quick, it didn't take years either. You know, she experienced a very dramatic transformation within just a few months. And so those are a couple of examples of, and of course, these are severe cases. And core transformation, of course, works very well with moderate or mild kinds of cases as well, kinds of difficulties.
So let's tomorrow talk about some of the key principles, the key sort of concepts within the core transformation process.
Okay, you bet. And now some of your audience are likely to be familiar with some of these things. So maybe I'll go into the basic ones pretty briefly. So one of the concepts is unconscious mind. And so conscious mind, okay, that's kind of like how we are thinking, what we are intentionally doing consciously. Unconscious mind is what produces experiences for us automatically, things that happen that we don't, you know, consciously intend to do. Like with our breathing, I can consciously breathe in and out, but if I forget about it, it still happens, thank goodness, right? Our unconscious makes it happen automatically. And so when we have something we want to change in our behavior, like for example, let's say I feel nervous and shaky in a particular situation. Well, consciously, that isn't what I'm wanting to have happen. So, but it happens anyway. It happens automatically. That lets us know it's our unconscious that's creating that nervous or shaky feeling. And so if we want to change it, we need to access and include the unconscious in order to successfully change it so that we have something new that can happen automatically. So that's the first concept. Then the next concept is parts. And so it's just common in our language to talk about, well, you know, there's a part of me that wants this. Maybe there's a part of me that wants to start a new career. But there's a part of me that, you know, that likes the stability, that wants to be able to pay the bills, right? And so we have this language, this way of using language, talking about parts. And or I could say, well, you know, there's a part of me that gets angry in this particular situation. And so with core transformation, we use this metaphor of parts to access an aspect of ourselves, an aspect of our own inner nature. And we want to work with the inner part that is generating whatever it is that we want to change. So, for example, if I have the sense of anger happens, well, obviously all of us isn't creating this anger, you know, most of me wants to change it. However, there is a part of me that is creating this sense of anger. That is where we need to be working. We need to be working with the part of us that generates whatever it is that we want to change, or, you know, could be a behavior like nail biting or eating too much or a pattern of thinking like being critical of myself or anything. If there's something that happens that I want to change, that lets us know that it isn't all of us that's creating that pattern, it's a part. And so I need to access that part in order to change it.
And we're not talking about good parts and bad parts. Maybe say a little bit about the difference between behaviors and intentions.
Yeah, thanks for that question. So yeah, another key concept here is that every part of us has a positive intention, which means a positive intended purpose. There's something this part wants that's positive. Even if, of course, the part might be causing some behavior or thought or feeling that's very destructive, that causes actual harm or at least difficulty, you know, for some things, even then there's a positive intended purpose behind it. And so, like, for example, let's say I'm working with a part that creates a sense of shame. And now, of course, the sense of shame doesn't feel good. You know, it doesn't, you know, cause me to have a positive experience in life. However, if I really get in touch with and access that unconscious part that's generating the sense of shame, I'm going to find that it's attempting to create something positive. So, for example, this part might want to be a good person. Or it might want to please other people so that I can survive. Or it might want to get me to withdraw from a situation to keep me safe. Or whatever it is, by exploring within what this part wants, it wants something that's positive. Every time. In fact, there was a client I had that I worked with for a period of time some years ago, and she had a very severe trauma background. And for her, just this in itself was a huge breakthrough every time, we could say. It was a surprise every time because she had a belief that these inner parts of her were just evil. They were just bad. And however, through this process, she discovered that no, they wanted something positive. She's like, I actually like this part. I, you know, I'm surprised every time. I don't know why. Okay. So there's that. And then by exploring, we can also reach deeper level of purposes. And so, and it isn't a matter of intellectually thinking about it, but by helping this inner part access what it wants, like if there's this inner part that wants to please other people, and then through this, it wants to be able to survive, you know. So then we invite this part to just step into what it's like if it is surviving. Now, intellectually, we might say, well, of course, we survived, you know, right? We're still here. But that's not this inner part's experience. So we need to help this inner part step into what it's like to have survival fully and completely. And then through this, discover through survival what is wanted that's even deeper yet. And maybe it's just a sense of, oh, I can be okay, you know, and by doing this and getting to deeper and deeper level purposes, we eventually get all the way to what we call a core state. And that just means all the way to the beingness level. So we get beyond having or doing, we get beyond external circumstances or thoughts or all of this stuff, and we get to what just is. And it could be a sense of inner peace. It could be a sense of oneness, a sense of our inner essence. There are a lot of different words people can use. And sometimes or fairly often the person says, okay, I've gotten to something and I don't know what to call it. It's just beyond words. There's just no word for it. And that's fine. You know, the word isn't the important thing. It's the experience that really matters.
I think what's particularly helpful in recognizing these core states is that they're states of being, not states of doing, right? They're not, I can get this if I do this or if that happens, that they're inherent and they're within us.
Exactly. And this is the new discovery, because these states of being, they've been there all along. You know, it's like we can't destroy them. They're there. It's just that we lose touch with them, you know, through perhaps traumatic experiences or even on a smaller scale, a milder scale, just difficult experiences through the difficulties that we had, especially in our growing up years. We lose touch with this natural sense of just being our true self. And through this, though, we get to rediscover it. It's been there all along, and we just didn't know how to access it. And so with Core Transformation, we can access it in a precise, reliable way. And then we can discover how we can just have this. What's meant to be is that it's just there in an inherent way, as an ongoing way of being. And then that just allows everything else to be different.
And of course, when we realize that that which we're trying to seek is already there, we then, of course, don't need that behavior as a way to try and get hold of that thing, right?
Totally, exactly, yeah. And sometimes, in fact, this inner part may have had the belief that it had to get approval from somebody else in order to experience the core, whatever its core state is. Maybe it's some kind of well-being. And well, this was a problem because it could never get that other person to approve, right? But it had the belief that that had to happen first. Through this process, this inner part discovers that the sense of well-being can be present and it's not dependent on anybody else. It's not dependent on finally getting that other person to approve or just, whatever. It doesn't matter. The sense of well-being can be present no matter what other people do, and no matter what behavior they do or don't do. And so that allows the behaviors that weren't working, that weren't very functional, to just naturally fall away. They still are a choice. We could still choose to do those behaviors. Like, for example, if it's eating ice cream, I was eating too much ice cream. I still have the choice of eating ice cream. And with the well-being already there, now I can just eat ice cream now and then. I don't have a sense of, well, I'm depending on eating ice cream to get a sense of happiness. I have a truer, fully happiness already there. So I don't need to do the behavior that was actually causing a problem for me in excess. And instead, I have a wider range of behaviors that are just expressions of the core state.
And I think one of the things that certainly my experience and having worked with this process for many years, other people, that it's like they can go from having to work very hard to constantly trying to change a behavior or reframe a pattern or to break a habit, and this kind of what can feel like an endless battle against themselves, to somehow the compulsion or the drive towards it just changes. And it goes from so much effort to somehow being effortless.
Totally, yes, that is a major uniqueness about this process, is that there's no effort. In fact, we're actually reducing the amount of inner effort, which might sound really like, how can you even do that? But we do. So yeah, most people, almost everyone perhaps, it first becomes aware, okay, so here's a behavior that I want to change, or a feeling I want to change. And so the natural things that people usually try first is, I'm going to just use willpower and I'm going to force myself to change. I'm going to, use the inner struggle method for change, right? I think we've all done this. And the thing is that, well, maybe it can work. Maybe if I really bulldoze my way through here, I can make myself change my behavior or my feeling or thought pattern. However, then I'm always engaging this great deal of inner force, and that can actually cause possibly even more stress to my system because there's an inner struggle, an inner tension that's happening. With this process, we get to actually undo that inner tension, undo the inner struggle. There's no inner struggle because what we're doing is we're accessing through the very part that was creating the behavior that we don't like, whatever it was. We are finding what we're getting to the resource that this very part has been wanting all along, and helping this. And of course, there's no resistance from this part because it's what it's wanting, what it's always been wanting. And so then it gets to just naturally and easily step into it, or just breathe it in and just allow it to be there, a sense of presence, a sense of oneness, whatever it is. And then just whatever the behavior was just isn't any longer necessary if it wasn't really helpful. You know, now that the part has what it's been wanting all along at the deepest level. Yeah.
When we first turn our attention towards these parts of ourselves, often mm-hmm. what comes up is all of the resistance and wanting to annihilate or get rid of this part. And what I think is a very helpful and important piece of the process is the step of actually learning to thank that part and to really shift that dynamic. Can you speak a little bit to why that's so important?
Yeah, thank you. So just actually the way that you were saying it very well is that usually people have had a history of trying to suppress this inner part that's been, and you know, for good reason, that this inner part has been creating some kind of feeling or behavior or thought that hasn't been working, that hasn't been, you know, helpful. And so like maybe it's a sense of resentment, you know, which is of course a natural experience. So there's a part that creates a resentment, and yet consciously the person recognizes that this resentment is just keeping them stuck. It's just keeping them trapped in, you know, whatever it was that happened, and in keeping them tied to that forever, you know, or up to this point anyhow. And so they've been trying to push that resentment away or struggle with it or say, no, don't feel resentment, you know, so they're arguing with that part on the inside or whatever. And so that inner struggle then really makes it so this part can't change. You know, it's like it's holding things in place. That's not what the person wants, but that's what's happening, is it's holding things in place. So then when we begin instead to thank this part for being there, and we're not thanking it for the resentment, we're thanking it for being there. Because we can already recognize, even though we don't know what it is yet, we can already recognize that this part wants something that's positive. And that then allows this inner part to feel safe with us and to be able to communicate with us and let us know what it wants, you know, let us know what its deepest yearnings are. And it always, as we work through the layers, it always gets to something that, you know, consciously we agree it's positive. Yeah. And here's the other thing too, though, there is that this, we could say that there's been a part of me that has been resisting this part or has been pushing back against this part. Now that part of me trying to change this part, you know, that part of me that's been trying to change it, this one also has a positive purpose. And not always, but sometimes it's important also to include this part, this other part in the process as well, so that we can completely get past the inner struggle.
It's so easy to get caught in a pattern of labeling a good part and a bad part and aligning ourselves with the good and trying to destroy the bad. But I think that often goes the same way as doing that in parenting. There's the good child and the bad child, just causes more fragmentation, right? And more and right. more of a sense of disharmony.
Right. And the thing is, you know, I wouldn't recommend destroying any part of ourselves, because if we do, then we're restricting or we're reducing our aliveness. Every part of us has a resource that it can bring to us. But even if we, the thing is that even if we really wanted to destroy a part of ourselves, we actually couldn't.
Yes.
It's just not even possible. And so the attempt to destroy a part of ourselves just causes even more inner tension, inner uncomfortableness. You know, how can I be comfortable with myself if I'm trying to destroy a part of myself?
Yes.
You know, and of course, it just isn't possible.
Yeah. And of course, there's often great gifts in those parts. I love the strap line to the book, reaching the wellspring within, that there is great potential in these parts. I wonder if we could talk a little bit about some examples with trauma of how this process can work. And then I know that you've got a little taste of the process that we can come into.
Yeah. So with trauma, well, first the thing is that when somebody has had an experience that was a traumatic experience, and so they have a trauma reaction to it, what happens is that there's a certain inner separation that happens. There's a certain separation from our true self, from our wholeness, into a part, an inner part. And now this inner part then is doing its best to cause something positive to happen. Now, there are many kinds of, we could say, symptoms, or many kinds of thoughts or behaviors or patterns of thinking that tend to emerge as responses to traumatic experiences. So one thing is a sense of shame or worthlessness, sadness, grief, emptiness, anger, rage, resentment, that kind of thing, hurt, sense of betrayal, even, sense of fear or anxiety, sense of hopelessness or despair. There's a long, long list. Or judgment of myself or judgment of other people. Sometimes going mental, like I'm going to retreat into my mind, and then, being removed from, connection with my body, a sense of inauthenticity or people pleasing, that kind of thing, habits like, addictive behaviors even. So these are all the kinds of things that people often experience working with, when we're working with trauma. And so, so to pick something like anxiety, so that's a very, very common experience for people who've experienced something traumatic. So if I'm working with a part that experiences some anxiety, then and so first what we do is we check. So, when I step into the situation where there is this anxiety and I notice the experience of it, because of course we're working through experience, not just like mental ideas. So I step into the situation, I notice a sense of anxiety happening. Then I'm going to notice, where's the inner part of me that's generating the anxiety? Okay, and so then I might say, like, right now I'm kind of stepping into this as a role play, so I can give you a live example. So what I'm noticing, what's coming up for me right now, is kind of like the back, like just in front of the spine. That's a location that's coming up. So then I'll just, on the inside, thank this part for being there, just like we were talking about. I'll say, thank you for being there. I know that you want something positive. And then I'll ask on the inside, what do you want? So I'm sending the question on the inside to the location of the part. Then I want to notice what response comes back from this location, or what happens at this location in response to the question. So I'm asking, what do you want? And the first thing I'm noticing is kind of a tightening up. Okay, so that's what I'm noticing. So that's the first response. So I'll thank the part for this response. Now that doesn't sound like something positive, but that's okay. So, we'll stick with the process. So I'll invite the part to step into what it's like to have this tightening up fully and completely the way it wants. And then I'll ask this part, and through tightening up, what do you want that's even deeper or even more important? And the answer I get is, it's like I just want to feel safe. So, and it's not really coming to me in words here. Sometimes we get words, it might be feelings, it might be images. I'm getting kind of a combination of images and feelings. So now I'll invite this part to step into what it's like to have this sense of being safe the way that it wants, fully and completely. So I'm not consciously thinking of, oh, what would that be like? When's the time when I've been safe? I'm not doing that. I'm inviting this inner part to step into the way that it wants, being safe fully and completely. Yeah, now I'm noticing a relaxing happening. So now I'm going to ask this part, when you have this experience of feeling safe fully and completely, what do you want through this? And so now the first thing I'm going to say is that often with these inner parts that have been traumatized, well, first, it is very common that one of the things in this series of outcomes, we could call it an outcome chain, they want this and through that they want this and through that they want something else, that oftentimes safety or protection will come up along the way. Not always, but oftentimes. And oftentimes it takes them a little while to step in. It can be a big deal for a part that's never felt safe before and it's always wanted to feel safe. It's a big deal to step into what it's like to have this. And so I've done this a bunch of times, so it's not taking this part of me that long, but I'm just letting you know that dealing with trauma, that this step in itself can take a while. Okay, so now I'm going to check. And when you have this safety, what do you want through this? And actually what's emerging through this is a state that I'm going to just call it presence. And it's starting to kind of like emerge, is kind of expanding from the location of the part, is kind of like expanding. It's like this now. Now, presence is something that can be a core state. However, I don't know if that's the core state for this part. So I'm going to just check. And so invite this part to step into what it's like to have presence fully and completely. And then I'm going to ask this part, through presence, is there anything you want that's even deeper, even more important or core? And yeah, what I'm noticing is, yeah, I could actually still call it presence, but it's even a fuller presence. It's like, yeah, a sense of, if I was going to give it a different name, I might call it beingness. So it's like the presence that I was noticing a moment ago. However, it's like it's fuller, it's more like substantial, I could say. It's not solid, but it's like there's more to it. So I'm going to give it a different name and call it presence. Since this part of me isn't giving me any words, it's just giving me an experience that I can call it something. So, okay. And so now my guess is I'm not going to keep going because as we go along, it might slow down. The process might slow down as we're really in touch with these inner experiences. And the sense of beingness, this is likely to be the core state. I can tell you from my past experience of doing core transformation, it's likely to be the core state for this part. And then, yeah, so dealing with the trauma, this part that was traumatized at one time, then the sense of beingness becomes the resource that transforms everything else, the whole, and everything else the part wanted. We could call it the outcome chain that transforms the original situation. So if this inner part steps into the situation where it used to experience anxiety, and now the sense of beingness is already there, it's like it just, the anxiety just doesn't even happen. Or I might, however, with the beingness there, it can, though, give me an ability to notice my inner signals. If there is something happening that could be harmful, then I can still have a sense of an inner signal that happens. So this part could still let me know that, but without giving me a sense of anxiety that's just there for, you know, when I'm in a situation that's actually safe, you know, it actually lets me be even safer because now I can notice my inner signals better and I can differentiate between a situation that's really safe and something where, well, there is something that could be dangerous here. I can notice my gut feelings better.
I think what's so beautiful about the process is that often we think we need to think our way to the resolution. And in a sense, what you're articulating and describing is following the kind of inner wisdom that's there, which with a kind of relatively simple but not always easy process that guides us to what it is that we ultimately seek.
Totally, yes. And I know there are many processes or approaches, let's say, that attempt to help people, get what they're seeking through content, through delivering concepts. The idea being that if only we understand ourselves well enough, then we can experience a resolution. And so we have actually many people that come to us who have a really rich and detailed understanding of why they have the problem, how it came about, all of the negative effects of the problem that they have, et cetera. But unfortunately, the problem itself is still there, because what actually has changed for them is their conscious understanding of it. And now people often really value that, the conscious understanding, and they want to understand themselves better. And it can even be a relief for people to recognize through this understanding, oh, it's not my fault. You know, all of this is, my life is the way it is because of these difficult situations that I went through, and it isn't my fault. So they understand this and it's a relief. However, the inner part of us that has been trying to reach a core state still hasn't gotten it, you know, because there's nothing that's happened yet that's allowed this part to discover what's there, that's what's been there all along, and this part just hasn't had a way to access it, this core state of experience, the sense of beingness, what we could call our true inner nature.
And in a sense, what the process is doing is facilitating that journey for the part to reach that which it ultimately seeks.
Exactly. And not only that, so this already, what we've already talked about is already a huge transformation, a huge shift. And we even then go a step farther with it. So the parts model, you know, talking about the part of us that has been creating these behaviors, thoughts, and feelings we want to change, that is a very useful model, and it's a very good fit for the situation that people have at the beginning of the work of, you know, there's these things happening and I want to change them. However, once this inner part has been transformed, once this inner part has reached the core state, and it's filled with the core state, it's no longer experiencing anxiety, it's experiencing this beingness now. Well, at this point, we do something else actually in between. We also invite the part to grow through time, to evolve up to our current age, because of course it was formed a long time ago. So we do this step of inviting the part, we don't force it, but if it wants to, we invite it to grow up through time, up to current age, filled with this beingness. And then at this point, there's really no need for it to be a separate part any longer. You know, all this time we've been talking about it as a part, and it has been functioning as a separate part. Now there can be a very deep and even deeper healing, because what was separate now can integrate with our whole inner essence, with our whole sense of beingness.
And in a sense, that's part of the ultimate transformation, right? Because we're going from this sort of fragmentation, these different parts of ourselves, mm-hmm. to this increasing sense of wholeness and being more fully who it is that we are.
Yes, exactly. Because there's a lot of kinds of parts work. And some parts work is mostly about communicating with those inner parts, helping them get along better, perhaps even healing these inner parts, but they still remain separate parts. Well, that already is useful. That can be very useful. However, if that's all we do, then we're still a committee of parts. We still have all this inner division, inner separation. Whereas if we help each part reach the core state, so it's at a beingness level, grow up through time so that it's, you know, it's reached our current age, and integrate with our wholeness. Now I can go through time and make choices as a whole being, instead of, oh, I've got to check with this inner part of me and that inner part of me. No, now I can make choices as a whole being, and that just makes things so much simpler.
Tamara, I'm mindful of time, but I'd love you also to speak mm-hmm. a little bit about some of the research that's happened around mm-hmm. this process.
Okay, yes, thank you. So at this point, there have been several studies that have been done for core transformation, including one that is a randomized controlled trial that's been published in a peer-reviewed journal, Journal of Counseling and Development, I believe it is. And this was done by Dinesh Braganza and his team of researchers. And there's a number of really important things that came out of this study. And one of them is that out of the whole group, he was using these various research instruments. And one of the instruments that he used was it could show if somebody was likely to receive a clinical diagnosis if they met with a clinician, you know. So this instrument had a certain way of measuring that. And so out of the whole group of people, there was a portion of them who, according to this instrument, could have qualified for a clinical diagnosis. Now, of this group, 61% were no longer in that category 4 weeks after a single core transformation session. Wow. And so that shows that it really makes a measurable difference. It isn't just us noticing differences, which that already is of value, I think, but it creates a measurable difference for many people. In even just a short amount of time. We also have some unpublished results from our last year's core transformation coach certification training, because all of our coaches in training worked with some clients with two sessions, and they were asked to bring in something mild to medium to work with. And then later on, we, you know, we're using some questionnaires, of course, and slightly over 80% of the people after those two sessions rated the significance of the change of whatever it was they were working with at a 6 through 10 on a 0 through 10 scale, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10. Wow. So about 80% were reporting a significant shift, more than halfway after two sessions.
It's, I think, part of what's so beautiful about this process is that, yes, of course, one can work with a practitioner, and that can be a particularly, I think, powerful way of working. But also, mm-hmm. there are key principles that one can use to work with themselves as well. Maybe say a little bit about a few of the just key kind of takeaway pieces that people can take away from this to perhaps be a support for them.
Sure. Yeah. So one thing is that it's, I think, useful to know that all of us have within us an amazing resource. Even no matter what's happened to us, no matter what, there's still an amazing resource that is there, that if we have a methodology that precise and systematically helps us to reach it, it's still there and we can reach it. And another thing is that all of these behaviors and thoughts and feelings that we don't like, no matter how destructive they are, no matter how they can cause a difficulty for us in our lives, all of these behaviors, thoughts, and feelings, the part that generates these has a positive intended purpose. There's no part of us that's actually evil, that's actually trying to cause harm. All of these inner parts are attempting to cause something positive and good.
I think it's such a powerful process. I'd love people to find out more. Tamara, people that want to find out mm-hmm. more about you and your work and also the core transformation process, what's the best way to do that? And what can they find?
Okay, the easiest way is go to andreasnlp.com. And Andreas is A-N-D-R-E-A-S-N-L-P, like neuro-linguistic programming, .com. And that will have all of our latest offerings, trainings, books, videos, including some free things, some free resources that a person can access to start the journey.
Fantastic. Tamara, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you sharing today.
Well, you're so welcome, Alex. And again, thank you so much. Really appreciate your work, and I'm glad to be a part of it.
Thank you.